Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. Don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
It's the Monday you've been waiting for. DSW's Cyber Monday sale is happening now at DSW.com. Today only, save 35% on almost everything online. Score the best deals of the year on must-have shoes, giftable bags, and cozy extras for everyone on your list, including you. Don't miss out. Save 35% online only at DSW.com today. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Does your AI model really know code? Its specific syntax, its structure, its logic? IBM's Granite Code models do. They're purpose-built for code and trained on 116 different programming languages to help you generate, translate, and explain code quickly. Because the more your AI model knows about code, the more it can help you do. Get started now at ibm.com/granite. IBM. Let's create.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily, where we bring you new ideas to spark your curiosity every day. I'm your host, Elise Hume. There's a lot that AI is capable of these days, but can it match human creativity when it comes to humor? Former New Yorker cartoons editor Bob Mankoff put the machines to the test when it comes to cartooning and quips. In his 2024 talk, he shares what he learned from trying to get AI to make jokes.
Whether you're thrilled by what AI can do for us or terrified by what AI is going to do to us, whether it can be funny is probably not top of mind for you. It is for me. I don't care if it turns all of us into paper clips, as long as they're funny paper clips. And the fact that it makes stuff up, hallucinates, for me, that's not a bug, that's a feature. My entire career was making stuff up. They're called cartoons. There is no algorithm for humor, but now with the rapid pace of AI, I have to wonder, could there be a bot Mankoff? You might think my reflexive answer to this would be, how about never? But while I don't want to be replaced by a bot, I'm not above being helped by it. Steve Jobs famously said that computers are a bicycle for the mind. If that's the case, what's AI? A rocket ship? And at my age, you know what? I'd settle for a walker. The fears of machines replacing humans are not new. When the goals of machines and humans go horribly awry, at least for one of the parties. Cartoons don't happen in a cultural vacuum. They're part of the zeitgeist. The guy who invented cybernetics, Norbert Wiener, who said thinking machines were putting us on the eve of destruction. Now, sadly and tragically, Norbert Wiener died, but not by a thinking machine, but by an unthinking one, he was run over by a bus. That's not true. I made that up. I hallucinated it, because it's funny. So these fears are not new, not novel, but now, in the immortal words of Nigel Tufnell of Spinal Tap, they go to 11. They're cranked to the max. And here is one of the maximum cranksters of all time, Elon Musk, saying, AI is one of the biggest threats to humanity, but certainly not as big as Elon Musk. But People like Elon have a P-doom number. That's the probability AI is going to wipe us out. I think P-doom is P-dumb. I'm interested in P-funny, and I've been using the New Yorker caption contest to look into the probability of that. Every week since 2005, the New Yorker has presented a cartoon without a caption and challenged its readers to come up with the winning caption in the caption contest. And for that, they get the glory of being in the New Yorker magazine, a huge amount of money, a house in the Bahamas that Sam Bankman freed. Actually, it's just the glory. On the page of the New Yorker, there's a contest you enter. The finalists from a few weeks before, three finalists, and a winning caption. So it's staggered in that way. Each one of these images are funny. They're incongruous. You'd certainly think they're humorous, but they're not funny in a way that you get. They're not mentally funny. To make it that, of course, you need the right caption. Okay, but with up to 10,000 captions every week, how do you select that? Now, from 2005 to 2016, that burden fell on me and my assistants, but mainly my assistants to try to cull the good captions from what we uncharitably call the craptions. But then, in early 2016, for the benefit of all humanity, but mainly for me and my assistants, we switched to crowdsourcing. So now for every contest, you vote online and a funniness score from over a million judgments is given for all the captions. Now, overall, I'm against mob rule, but actually, in this case, the mob does a pretty good job. Usually, the finalists, almost certainly, almost all the time, really, the finalists come from the top 200 captions. Well, this is popular not only with the New Yorker, but it's caught the eye of data scientists, creativity searchers, cognitive scientists, and AI, of course, and everything adjacent to AI. I wasn't really surprised when Vincent Van Hook, then the chief data scientist for Google's DeepMind, now the head of robotics, sent me this email indicating that winning the caption contest, which was actually somewhat of the sine qua non of human creativity and intelligence. And I was also flattered by that, of course, but I didn't think they had any chance at all of doing it. And it turned out that was the case. All of the AI juju circa 2016 wasn't up to the task. It really couldn't even decode the image. So for the sine qua non of the human mind, DeepMind was non compos mentis and out of its depth. But time and AI marched on. AI marching quadruple time. Vincent gets back to me and says, while human creativity might still be out of reach, we think we have understanding well in hand. He sends me this ridiculous uber nerd example of explaining humor. And I said, you know what? Let me give you a cartoon I did in 1997, in this other watershed moment, when IBM's DeepMind defeated Garry Kasparov, the world chess champion. And here's the cartoon I did then. And it says, no, I don't want to play chess. I just want you to reheat the lasagna. I rate this explanation a solid B minus. But so what if it was an A? Is there ever going to be a beautiful New Yorker cartoon anthology of explanations? I don't think so. But the idea that understanding humor could be a stepping stone to creating it sort of made sense. This paper I was involved in tried to look at, compared to smart humans, what would the best AIs do on three tasks? Could they, from winning captions from different contests, match to the right image? Could they, between two captions, one that won and the one was pretty good, pick the right one? And could they explain the humor? Now, for all of them, you know what? Yay, humans, we're still ahead, but AI is closing the gap. The most interesting thing about this paper for me was it showed a pathway for which you could create cartoon humor. And that was how we trained the contest. For 653 contests, the AI was trained, fine-tuned on these examples which humans annotated. A description of the cartoon, explanation of the humor. Okay, if you've used ChatGPT, you sort of get the idea now. Put a number of examples like this. Put it in the prompt window. Rinse and repeat. And you get new cartoons. Well, Jack Hessel, the chief author of the paper, did something more sophisticated. And what he did was create 50 synthetic new cartoons generated from this old data, in which there were five options for captions. I picked four of them, and I gave them to cartoonist Shannon Wheeler to draw up. Now, Shannon said, well, these are weird. They don't really seem like... It's sort of an uncanny valley of cartoons. They're not quite there. But it is interesting, all of these are new cartoons that never appeared anywhere that are an idea of human, of computer creativity. But I do see this now as a tool for brainstorming for cartoonists, in that we played this completely straight. Shannon wasn't able to manipulate the description of the picture or the caption. Had he done that, it could have been better. Also, we could have asked it to make more. We could have put in the rankings for the humor. We could do all this to improve it. So quality comes out of quantity. You can get an awful lot of quantity here. You can have a human being in the loop to do this. But I would not go so far to give AI a true human sense of humor. A human sense of humor is not about making a joke or getting it. It's rooted in our vulnerability. It's the blessing we get for the curse of mortality. Mark Twain said, the true source of humor is not joy, but sorrow. If we gave AI the 1,000 natural shocks that flesh is heir to, that would be cruel. If we did that, it might very well want to wipe us out. And if they did, all I ask is that they take Elon first. Thank you.
That was Bob Mankoff speaking at TEDx U of M in 2024. If you're curious about TED's curation, find out more at TED.com/curation guidelines. And that's it for today. TED Talks Daily is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced and edited by our team, Martha Estefanos, Oliver Friedman, Brian Green, Autumn Thompson, and Alejandra Salazar. It was mixed by Christopher Fazy Bogan. Additional support from Emma Taubner and Daniela Balarezo. I'm Elise Hugh. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh idea for your feed. Thanks for listening.
Let's talk about something that's not always top of mind, but still really important: life insurance. Why? Because it offers financial protection for your loved ones and can help them pay for things like a mortgage, credit card debt. It can even help fund an education. And guess what? Life insurance is probably a lot more affordable than you think. In fact, most people think life insurance is 3 times more expensive than it is. So with State Farm Life Insurance, you can protect your loved ones without breaking the bank. Not sure where to start? State Farm has over 19,000 local agents that can help you choose an option to fit your needs and budget. Get started today and contact a State Farm agent or go to statefarm.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.